Our scripture reading this morning is taken from two passages, Habakkuk chapter 4, verses 17 to verses 19. But before that, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then reading from Habakkuk chapter 4 and verses 17 to 19. A great ending with a great confession on the part of Habakkuk, in the light of all that was going to, terrible things that were going to happen because of their waywardness from the Lord. But faith was able to see past those things, and that's what these verses reflect. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, and all of those things, of course, were going to happen because they were going to go into exile. Yet faith speaks this way. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the passages that I've read, and we could multiply them by manyfold, speaks to the various kinds of situations we can find ourselves in. Habakkuk faced a most troubling future, as we know, if we've read that book and certainly had it preached, that it was a very disturbing time to such an extent, as he says in the verse previous to the verses that I read, when I heard what God was going to do. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. I mean, that's how disturbing the news was of what God was going to do to the southern kingdom, because they'd been unfaithful. And then seeing the northern kingdom already go into exile, but that didn't seem to have any effect on them. And they continued in their sinful ways, and God was going to come and deal a blow to them too, in order that they might learn. And when Habakkuk hears about that, he is trembling because he can visualize all these things that were going to happen. And Philippi, the same. Paul talks about his own situation. And here he is, and he's received this gift from the Philippian church. And he's just overwhelmed with that. He's so thankful about that. Not because now he doesn't have to worry about where his next meal is coming from. Not because of that. But because of the realization how God takes care of him. And the Philippian church had sent him this gift. And as he says, I'm not so necessarily jumping up and down because I got the gift. I don't do it because of the gift. I do it because God is working in you to show his love, to emulate what God does for his people. And so, as he says, he experiences the ups and downs of life. He knows what it is to be doing well. He knows what it is to have plenty. He knows what it is to have very little and to be in need. He knew what it was to be in prison. He knew what it was to be beaten up and left as dead. He knew what it was to have constant struggles in the churches that he sought to establish. And to all of that, we can add our own struggles. We can add the struggles of the world all around us. In all of these things, the only way that we can live in a way that brings honor to God, in the way that stabilizes our hearts and minds, gives us strength and courage, is Habakkuk, as Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. Whatever the circumstances, the just can go through those only by faith. Only by the faith that God has given to us in his word. And that faith then is the ability to be able to see in the midst of all the confusion, all the pain, and all the suffering, the ability to see God's promises and to embrace those promises and rejoice in those promises, even though they are a ways away in the future. That's what faith is. So that no matter what it is that we face in the immediate future, we have hope. Certain hope that God has granted to us in his word. And so as we come and celebrate Thanksgiving, there may be all kinds of obstacles in the way that the devil would use to deter us from that. What are you being thankful for? Look at what's happening over here. Look at what's happening over here. Look at what's happening in your own life. What have you got to be thankful for? It irks him to no end when we get down on our knees and we thank God. Even when we are in difficulties. He can't tolerate that. And that's why it was such a defeat for him when he came into the life of Job and disrupted everything. And yet he could not get out of the lips of Job a curse toward God. Confusion, yes. Yes, there was confusion. But there was never a curse from his mouth. That was faith under extreme pressure. But faith that helped and strengthened him to come to the right conclusion. So this faith then is to be exercised in all circumstances, even under discipline. That's what was happening in the prophecy of Habakkuk. It was an indictment to God's people, indictment to Judah. As I said, Israel had already gone into exile because they'd been foolish. And even though God sent Elijah and many other prophets, they didn't listen to them. And so God was long-suffering and forbearing with them. But they wouldn't listen. They had all of their false prophets. And they resisted Elijah and Elisha as well. And finally, they went into exile. You'd think that that would have had a sobering effect on Judah. That they would have smartened up in terms of their walk with God. But they didn't. They didn't. And even the prophet is saying to God, you know, his soul is vexed. I mean, it's one thing for us to understand that Lot's soul was vexed because he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah and seeing all of these terrible things going on. But Habakkuk, in the midst of God's people, where the tabernacle was, his soul is vexed. Why? Because of unrighteousness and wickedness at every hand. This was God's city on a hill, we might say. And it was embarrassing. No end. And Habakkuk is crying out to God. And he's asking, and he can't understand, why are these things happening? Why don't you see this? Violence, plundering, strife, contentions. The law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. That's his description. And so God tells him, I'm dealing with it. I'm already busy with that. Plans are already underway. I'm not abandoning this. You ought not to look at them and say, there's no hope. That God's redemptive purposes are coming to an end and they're going to be destroyed because of the way that they're acting. No. Faith has to look beyond that. Faith has to continue to trust God's work and God's purposes. And so God reveals to him, no, everything is under control. I'm working through this. In fact, I have a nation already. I have an instrument in my hands that I'm going to bring down upon my people so they would learn the lesson. And Habakkuk, as I said, already mentioned, he's shaking in his boots. He's disturbed, of course, by the things that are going on. But when he hears what God is going to do, for a moment he thinks all is lost. For a moment it looks like God's going to destroy his nation. God's going to end his purposes of redemption. And they're going to come to a clanging stop. And that's it. We ought never to think that way about God's work. God's work is not to abandon the promises that he's made, but to accomplish the promises that he's made. In spite of all the resistance that happens. No, God has not abandoned. God is going to fulfill all of his blessings that he's spoken about. No, they are going to receive that wonderful blessing as God brings his wonderful salvation to fruition. And he's going to pour out his spirit. I mean, it's to Habakkuk that we turn on the day of Pentecost. He's going to pour out his spirit. Our sons and daughters, old men, they receive visions. No, the promises of God are not abandoned because of the consequence, because of the situation that the prophet faced. No, absolutely not. Discipline may definitely come, but it's designed to a good end. It's designed to further the promises of God and his redemptive plans. Now, God wasn't done with his people. He wasn't throwing them aside and saying, that's it. No, absolutely not. And so Habakkuk takes his stand. He can't visualize, he can't understand it all. But by faith, he is able to look forward and see that God is going to accomplish those things. And even though when he walks through that experience and he comes to experience the fig tree not blossoming and there being no fruit on the vines, they're not even in their land, and all of these things fail and they're in desperate straits, by faith, he's going to rejoice in the Lord. He will joy in the God of his salvation. God is not going to abandon his people. He will make their feet like deer's feet that are very light and can move swiftly. He will make me walk on my high hills. The people of God never lose sight of God's purposes. They're never going to fail. Whatever the circumstances are before you, he is going to come to your aid as we look to him and we have faith in him. And so Paul also, in his situation, was filled with varying experiences. I've already mentioned he was constantly under persecution. The way he describes it is that we face death all day long. I mean, it's not that we face death every now and then. We face death all day long. Everywhere he went, he faced opposition. Words, actions, as he was beaten, put into prison, maligned in every way. All of these things. You would think that that would discourage him, that would lead him to stop. I mean, how many people are going to give that kind of a message in terms of his missionary activities in the churches? Yeah, I was beaten up, I was left for dead, then I was put into prison, and then these people said this, these people said that. I didn't have enough money, I had to work for myself. That's not a very successful mission. People would not say, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, you're really being successful. No, it would be something that discourages us. And yet Paul never looked at it that way. Because he too lived by faith. He too could see in all of these things, by faith, he could see the hand of God. He could see that God was working his purposes and that God's purposes would never, ever fail. That's living by faith. And so he expresses that he gives thanks to God even when they were in prison. Him and Silas were singing hymns. That's not what you would expect. That's not a reaction to the immediate surroundings and letting them determine how we respond. No. That's a response of faith that sees beyond these things to God's wonderful promises and accomplishments for our well-being. Believers need then to always live by faith. When we start living by sight, when we start responding only to things that we can touch and experience now, and those are the only things that affect our hearts, we are living difficult lives. Because those things are going to go up and down, up and down. And that's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live the abundant life. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is with us. I will be with you, he said to Joshua. Joshua is going to lead his people into the promised land. There would be hindrances along the way. But he was to lead by faith that God would grant them the victory. Now we're to rejoice always, as he says in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord always. And you can just imagine so many people hearing that and all the buts that would come up. But what about this? But what about this? What do you mean? I can't do that. Well, Paul shows you himself. Whatever sufferings you have, he had them constantly. So he's not just speaking theoretically. He's speaking from experience. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things and face all things because God is my shepherd, because God has me in his hands and God has a purpose and a plan that is going to result in eternal glory. All this suffering, this tribulation, this light momentary affliction, is the way that Paul puts it, is not worth comparing to that eternal weight of glory that is promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're never going to lose. Not one of us is going to lose. But faith is the means by which we are going to be led through those things. So whatever it is that you face, as I said, whether it's wealth, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, don't give up. Don't just look at the problem that there is there. Look at God's solution. Look at the way God is working and be ready to be an instrument in His hands. You know, often when we pray, we ought always to add this. When we pray to God for certain things, then be committed to being willing to be an instrument to bring about that change. Don't just sit down and say, God, you do it, I'm just going to wait here. No, be an instrument in His hands. It may take you doing certain things to bring about God's purposes. But it's also the case in terms of blessings. Blessings come to us. And again, as I say, it's easy if we just focus on the blessings and conclude, everything's fine, I must be doing good, everything's fine, God must be happy with me because everything is going well. Well, the farmer that had bumper crops, that's the way he thought. Everything's doing well. Saul, he says, I mean, that's how proud people speak, right? They speak to themselves in the third person. Saul, relax. We've got everything. Everything for the future. We have no worries whatsoever. That wasn't faith speaking. That was man speaking. And God says, you fool. You fool. Tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. Then how helpful will all of your harvests be? Absolutely nothing. No, it's by faith has to be exercised even when things are going great and wonderful. Things were going great for David, you remember. He'd conquered all his enemies. There he was on his rooftop. No doubt, perhaps thinking along the same lines. And what a fall. What a fall. When you trust in the things that are right before you, and you think everything's fine, the devil moves in. The Catechism tells us about that. When things are going well, what is our response ought to be? Well, when we look at it by faith, we see that these are the blessings of God. God has blessed us with these things. God has surrounded us with His blessing. Not because we've earned them. Not because we're His children. He's granted them to us. And so for us to boast in them, for us to take our eyes off God and begin trusting in those things is a fatal flaw. Fatal flaw. Some of the times that Israel and Judah were in trouble is when they were doing well. When they were doing well. Confidence in themselves. Now people go, even when things are going well, and God has abundantly blessed you, never fail to look at those circumstances by faith. Never fail to understand that they are coming to you from the hands of God. And that you need to give Him all the praise and all the glory. But faith has to go beyond the things that we've spoken about. Faith finds its foundation in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where all of our hope, that's where all of our comfort comes from. It's from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God tangibly showed us His love, that He did not spare His only begotten Son. Faith has to find its focus in the Lord Jesus Christ. even as Hebrews says, fix your hope, your comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith. It has to be on him. It has to be on his redemptive promises to us, as Habakkuk does in verse 17. It's only with those in mind that he says, even in all of these situations, I'm going to praise God. People may not expect me to do that. People may expect me to be on my knees and complaining against God. But no, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. My salvation. We can never take our eyes off the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there that we have the assurance of God's love towards us. It's there that even in the struggles of our own lives, even in terms of Habakkuk and Judah being so sinful and acting in such ways, there was hope, there was forgiveness, there was atonement. And that's what we have. Each and every one of us has. It may be difficult times in our lives and the devil is attacking us. But faith looks beyond our sins as well. Not that we don't repent, we absolutely do. Not that we don't show sorrow, we absolutely do. But faith leads us past those sins and all that they rightfully deserve to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can have hope. That we can have that restoring grace that God promises us. And the Lord Jesus Christ wonderfully displayed in the scriptures towards his children, even as we were looking in terms of Peter himself and how God restored him, even as in his experience of great failure, there was that hope. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, made that very tangible when he restored Peter and asked him and again, do you love me? Do you love me? And reaffirmed that restoration by grace by telling him to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. No, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his victory on the cross. Faith is nothing if it's not focused on that. It can't be focused on our good works. It can't be focused on what God is doing in me. It has to be focused on what God did through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. It is completed. It is rock solid. Nothing is able to disturb that. You will never be disappointed when you keep your eyes on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, in the cross, be my glory ever. And finally, it's a certain victory in verse 19. The messianic kingdom. The Jews were given redemptive promises in earthly forms. They had such promises portrayed in terms of a country, a king, a prophet, a priest. The Lord would establish them as his people in his land under his rule. And though the Jews were rebellious and faced God's discipline, nevertheless, God's promises were never abandoned. At times it appeared that such promises would never materialize, as in the case with Habakkuk's time and many others. I mean, there weren't many good kings, but nevertheless, the redemptive purposes of God continued to go forth, and God did bring them into that land. But the messianic promises, by faith, we had to look past the land. I mean, Abraham didn't just look to the land in terms of the promises. He understood that that was symbolic. There was something much better than that. He looked for not an earthly city, a heavenly city, whose founder was God. That's where our eyes ought to be fixed. That's where our faith ought to be fixed. Not on this world, not on having it comfortable in this life. This isn't our home. We're here serving God. The home is in our Father's house. And we need to have that in our hearts, in our minds. Because when life is ebbing away, faith is not ebbing away. Faith is strong as it lifts up his eyes to heaven and sees the Lord Jesus Christ ready to receive us into our eternal abode. It is through Christ that all the redemptive promises were made. And even, as I said, when people face difficulties, whether it be Stephen as he was being stoned to death, or whether it be Simeon that knew that his life was going to come to an end, or whether it was a thief on the cross who, with the Lord Jesus Christ, would leave this earth very soon. To each and every one of those, faith opened the way. And Stephen looked into heaven and he saw the heavens open and Christ standing ready to receive him into heaven. And the thief on the cross was ready. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Well, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, Simeon, he said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm equipped. I'm ready to leave this life. That's faith speaking. People go, that's what we have. And that's the way that we ought to live. So no matter what circumstances we face, individually or as families or as a church or as a nation or as a world, thanksgiving is always the right response. But it's thanksgiving through the eyes of faith. That's where it's at. And that's what we need to teach the world and exemplify that in our life. And especially on this day, to him be all the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you bring reality to our lives, even as the Catechism does. There are times when things go well, but there are times when things are not so great. And there are times when the future promises difficult times ahead. And yet in all of those things, faith has the right response. To be grateful, to be thankful when things are going well. To fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and your promises when things are difficult and troublesome. And Lord, to have hearts that are at peace, like Habakkuk's heart, with respect to the future and what it would bring. We have confidence. Faith leads us to be confident because we know that you are going to accomplish all of your purposes and that your purposes are always good and holy. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would be with each family as we celebrate today. May it be through faith. May it be, our Father, trusting in your word and in you. Our Father, hear our prayers, bless us, and make us a blessing to all those around us so that we can teach them what it means to live by faith, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and respond as we sing a changed number to 691. 691, it is well with my soul.